Four slides today. I didn't do many. So just the main headings, and I can kind of give you a nod or something when it's time to change those. Just put up the outline today in case you want to just jot the outline down, if you want to write any scriptures down. Along with that, I'll give them to you as we go. Oh, there it is. Thank you. Good job, Matthew. You want to take your Bibles, turn to Psalm 23. Psalm 23:4 is our text this morning as we've been preaching through this psalm. I'll read the verse in just a minute. One time a botanist was on his hands and knees with a magnifying glass, just looking down at a little flower in the pasture. And a big old bronze shepherd came and stood behind. At first, the botanist was not aware that the shepherd was there. And the shepherd had a smile on his face. To him, it was ludicrous. Here's a man on his hands and knees with a magnifying glass looking at a little flower. And when the botanist finally recognized the presence of this shepherd, he felt a little silly himself at first. And then he said to the shepherd, "Here, you come and take a look." And the shepherd kneeled down and took the magnifying glass himself and looked at that exquisitely beautiful little flower. And after he did, the tears started forming in his eyes and started to run down his cheeks. And the botanist said, "Why are you crying?" And he said, "You know, I knew they were here, but I think now of how many times I trample them under my feet without really looking at them." You know, I wonder if we don't do that with some of our familiar Bible passages. We just kind of trample them under feet. We know that they're there, but I want us to take out a magnifying glass and look a little closer at this particular verse. Psalm 23 is probably the most known, well-known chapter in all the Bible, and perhaps verse 4, the most well-known verse of that chapter. And you know, when I first started out, I was going to preach a single sermon on Psalm 23. And then I got out my magnifying glass and I started looking at it. And it's really turned into a series. And I've been looking forward to getting to this particular message today. Psalm 23 and verse 4. Can we read that together this morning? Fourth verse of Psalm 23, all together. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." Let's pray. Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit to be here today. Lord, as we think we know what this verse says, but Lord, may we be able to draw out some insight today that literally could set people free. Because there are some here today are in bondage to the fear of death. And we pray that they would be set free as they learn the truth today. In Jesus' name, amen. Heard a story of a man in Baghdad who came to his master one day and said, "Master, you've got to help me." And the master said, "Well, what's wrong?" And he said, "Master, I was in the marketplace and a sinister figure jostled me in the marketplace, and I looked him in the face, and it was death. Master, please loan me your finest Arabian horse. I must flee to Samarra, or else death will get me." The master said, "Go to the stable and take the finest horse and flee." And then the master went himself down to the marketplace to see if indeed death was there. And he saw this sinister figure wearing a hood. And he tapped him on the shoulder, and this figure turned around. And the master looked at him and said, "I want to ask you a question. Are you death?" He said, "Yes, I'm death." And he said, "I want to ask you another question. Why did you frighten my servant today in the marketplace?" "Oh," said death, "I didn't mean to frighten him. I was surprised to see him here. He startled me. I was not expecting to see him in the marketplace here today, for you see, I have an appointment with him tonight in Samarra." There's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. And there's no escaping it. Death is a stubborn fact. It's an unpredictable fact, and it's a personal fact. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It says, I will walk. But I want to take this message this morning, and I want to personalize it to your heart. And I know a lot of times we don't like to think about death. And so I know what some of you are tempted to do right now. Turn pastor off. I don't want to hear anything to do with death. And I'm going to ask you to hang with me today. Because by the time this message is over, I'm hoping that none of you would fear death anymore. That you would not be afraid of death. Because you know what? Fear keeps people in bondage. Satan enslaves you through fear of death. And so there could be some people today that are literally set free by the message this morning. Hebrews chapter 2, verses 14 and 15 puts it this way. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, the children he's talking about here are the children of God. He's also, that's speaking of Jesus himself when it says took part of the same. That is, we are flesh and blood, and Jesus became flesh and blood. We talked about that this whole Christmas season with the incarnation. Now listen to this, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death. That is, Jesus destroyed the devil. And notice this, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You see, the scripture is saying this, that anyone who has a fear of death, anyone who is afraid to die will live this life as a slave. And until you're no longer afraid to die, you're not ready to live. And so I want to talk to you about this idea of death and how you can overcome the fear of that and remove the dread of it. Now, David spoke of a valley. He calls it the valley of the shadow of death. And there is such a valley. Starts out between Jerusalem and Bethlehem. Starts out about 2,700 feet above sea level. And there's a little spring that comes out of a hillside there. And it starts to form a little river. And sometimes it's full of water as the water cascades down. And sometimes the water, though, is just a trickle that passes through the century, through it. But over the centuries, it has cut a ravine, a chasm, a little Grand Canyon, if you will. It's cut there in the Judean hillside, and it flows down from this high peak to a 1,300 feet below sea level, all the way down to the Dead Sea. And this ravine, this canyon, is called the Valley of the Shadow of Death. It is so narrow in places that at the bottom it's only 12 feet wide. But the thing about this canyon is that it casts eerie shadows. Even at noon, it's full of shadows. There are caves there. There's shadowy places. And in Bible times, there were bears and hyenas and leopards and even robbers that hid in these caves in this valley of death. There were steep places where sheep might fall, and it was a scary place. It was particularly frightening with these grotesque shadows that would appear on the canyon wall. And so the shepherds are the ones that named it the Valley of the Shadow of Death. But it was a useful canyon, a very useful place, because in the wintertime, when there was not much grass, the shepherds would take the sheep down to Jericho, and they would winter at Jericho, and there they were able to feed on the lush grass that would grow even in the wintertime. But then when spring would come, and the green Judean hills would grow bright with a splendid color of green, and the flowers would come out to dot the hillside, the shepherds would lead their sheep through the valley of the shadow of death. Lead them through the valley of the shadow of death so that they could get to greener pastures. And this is what David had in mind, no doubt, when he wrote this beautiful psalm. Because David, as a shepherd himself, had led his sheep through that valley numerous times. Through the valley of the shadow of death. And David, as he's writing this psalm then, he thinks, you know, the Lord is to me what I was to my sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So I want to see three principles this morning that will help you overcome the fear of death and give you victory. The first thing, though, is you have to accept death as a decided fact. Decided fact, F-A-C-T, fact. Death is a fact. Notice how this verse begins, yea. Not nay, but yea, yes. I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Death is a stubborn fact. As I said, most people don't want to even think about this idea of death. And sometimes we like to change the subject when somebody brings it up. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, it is appointed unto man once to die. And the Bible also says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. The only exception to death is if Christ comes back and raptures us to heaven before our death would take place. I read a startling statistic about death. You ready for this? One out of one people die. It's appointed unto man once to die. Death is a stubborn fact, but we also need to accept death as an uncertain fact. You don't know when you're going to die. We don't know the exact moment of our death. It was last year, about this time actually, maybe a little earlier than this, we got a call from John saying that Dan had gone into cardiac arrest. We never expected that day. Never expected that to happen. But David said that he's walking through the valley and he doesn't know what's going to happen from one moment to the next because he said there is but a step between me and death. Church, I want you to understand something this morning. I preach as a dying man to dying people. I realize this morning that this might be the last message I ever bring you. I realize this morning that also that you might be the last message you ever hear me preach. Death is an uncertain fact. We don't know when it'll happen. But then death is also a personal fact. It says, yea, though I walk. That's a personal fact. Not they walk, but I walk. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death just like David did. So we have to accept death as a decided fact, but then also acknowledge death as a defeated foe. There are three wonderful truths that we can consider when we think about death as a defeated foe. And the first one is this: there can be no valley without mountains. Isn't that true? There can be no valley without mountains. It's impossible. In order for there to be a valley, there has to be mountains. And you remember how we talked about this Trinity of Psalms, Psalm 22, Psalm 23, and Psalm 24. And Psalm 23, of course, is in the middle of Psalm 22 and 24. Psalm 22 and Psalm 24 are mountain psalms. And here we've got Psalm 23, a valley psalm. Psalm 22 deals with Mount Calvary. It deals with the crucifixion of the Messiah. And then Psalm 24 is also a mountain psalm. It deals not with the crucifixion, but the coronation of the Messiah. It deals with the second coming of Christ. And so Psalm 23 is a valley between two mountains. Over on one side, we have the blood-drenched mountain of Calvary. And then on the other side, we have the mountain of coronation, where Jesus is crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords for all eternity. And so whenever you get in the valley, whether it's the valley of death, the valley of trouble, whatever that valley might be, what you need to do is you need to look up and see the mountains on either side of you. Remember we said that the Lord Jesus Christ is described as a shepherd three times in the New Testament. For example, he's called the Good Shepherd in John chapter 10 and verse 11. I am the Good Shepherd, Jesus said. The Good Shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Now the Good Shepherd, that's Mount Calvary. And then the Lord is called the Chief Shepherd in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4. It says, and when the Chief Shepherd shall appear, he shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So listen, church. The Good Shepherd is the shepherd who died for you. The Chief Shepherd is the shepherd who's coming again for you. We got that right? We got that straight? But in between that is the Great Shepherd. And he is the one who lives for you. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21, now it says, the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep. You see, he's the one who rose from the dead. He's the one that conquered the valley of the shadow of death. The good shepherd died for me. The chief shepherd is coming again for me. The great shepherd is living for me right this moment. Right now, Jesus is living for you. So when you get in the valley, you realize Jesus, as your great shepherd, is living for you. But you know what? He's died for you, and he's coming again for you. No wonder the psalmist said, I look unto the hills from whence comes my help. And when you get down in the valley, you realize there can be no valley without mountains. And we look to one side and we see Mount Calvary, and we look to the other side and we see Mount Zion. There can be no valley without mountains. There can be no shadow without light. There can be no shadow without a light. Notice what it says. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know what death is? It is a shadow. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, it becomes a shadow because Jesus has tasted death for every man. You see, Jesus pulled the sting out of death. Jesus took the gloom out of the grave. Jesus took the dread out of dying. And Jesus has given us a hope that is steadfast and sure. Now, if a shadow might frighten you, but a shadow cannot hurt you. There can be no shadow without a light. If you are seeing a shadow, that means there is light somewhere that is being cast on that shadow. There was a great, great preacher whose wife had died when she was still a very young woman, left a little girl. That little girl didn't understand all the intricacies about life and death and Jesus dying for our sins and all of that. She was just too young, too small to understand. But after the funeral one day, the father was downtown with the little girl and they were doing some shopping. The little girl was in the car and she looked over the wall of a department store, at the wall of a department store, and she saw a shadow. She saw a shadow of a truck. And the shadow was even larger than the truck because the sun was setting low in the west and it made a huge shadow on that department store wall. The little girl said, Daddy, look at the big shadow of the truck. And he thought right then I'm going to teach my little girl a lesson. And he said, sweetheart, if you had your choice, would you rather be hit by the shadow of the truck or would you rather be hit by the truck? Oh, she said, Daddy, that's easy. I'd much rather be hit by the shadow of the truck than to be hit by the truck. And he said, that's right, darling. And he said, I want you to know that only a shadow hit your mama. The truck hit Jesus Christ on Calvary. Tremendous lesson. The truck hit Jesus. Death hit Jesus straight on. You know what that means for us? It means only the shadow of death hits us. Jesus took the sting out of death, the dread out of the grave. Jesus has become the victor. He is victor over death and the grave. He has the keys to death and hell. But there cannot be a shadow unless there's light. I'm going to share with you a verse that became a blessing to me, Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2. It says, the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath a light shined. So there's no shadow without what, church? There's no shadow without light. Are you in the valley of the shadow of death? If so, you can see the shadow. The shadow will simply fall behind you. But look to the light. Look to the light. Look to the light of the resurrection. Look to the light of Christ. There's no valley without what? Mountains. There's no valley without mountains. There's no shadow without light. There's no evil without greater good. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no what? Evil. Why? For thou art with me. This time now he's comparing the evil with the great shepherd. The great shepherd of the sheep. Who is the thou there? Who is he talking to? Who does David mean when he says, thou art with me? Remember how the psalm begins? The Lord is my shepherd. And in some translations there, you've got that word Lord in all caps because it means Jehovah, or as some would say, Yahweh. Actually, it's an unpronounced word, just four consonants that cannot be pronounced. We pronounce it in the best way we can when we call his name Jehovah. But actually, Yahweh or Jehovah is my shepherd. It was one of the most sacred names that the Jew knew for God. When Moses was getting ready to deliver the children of Israel out of bondage, he made excuses, one excuse after another. They won't believe me. Finally, he says, who shall I say sent me? And God says to Moses, you tell them that I am sent you. That is the great personal God, the ever-existing God, the one who never had a beginning and will never have an ending. Not I was, not I will be, but I am. You tell them that I am has sent you. He's telling them, you tell them that my name is Jehovah. Do you know what Jesus means? It means Jehovah saves. Now, let me give you a little background. Just something for you to think about. When Moses could no longer lead the children of Israel because of his unbelief, God had another man who was take his place. God had a man named Joshua. But Joshua's name was not always Joshua. Did you know that? His name was Hosea. And Hosea means, or Hoshea means, salvation. Moses said, I'm going to give you, Hosea, a new name. I'm going to call you Joshua. Jehovah saves. What he really did was he took the name Jehovah and he put it together with Hosea, and Hoshea became the name. See, Joshua was Savior, Deliverer, but you add God's name to it and it becomes God is the Savior. God becomes the Deliverer. Hoshea is salvation. And then when you get to the New Testament, Jesus is the same as that Old Testament name, Jehovah. Jesus and Joshua are interchangeable. So what David is saying, I will fear no evil because Jehovah, the great I am, the God who always was and always will be, is with me. And today, Jesus is our Jehovah, and he has promised what? To always be with us, to never leave us or forsake us. He will be with us for all time. So there can be no valley without mountains. There can be no shadow without, there can be no evil without greater good. I love it. I love it. Grace that is greater than all my sin. Our sovereign God is greater than Satan, and life is greater than death. You've got to understand that. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Jehovah is with me. And then the third point of the message this morning, we can see death as a delightful friend. Did I really just say friend? I'll leave it there. Let me give you an interesting verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, two verses actually, verses 22 and 23. The Apostle Paul is telling us what we have in Christ. The Corinthians had been arguing and squabbling a little bit about what preacher they liked best. And so here's what Paul says. Whether Paulo, Apollos, or Cephas, or the world of, or life, now watch this, or death, or things present, or things to come, all these things are yours. Death belongs to us. It's one of our treasured possessions. It's yours. See, he thinks of death not as an enemy, but really death as a servant to help us. You know that the Bible says in Psalm 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Do you know the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, for me to die is gain. I mean, physically it's gain. Yeah, my body is going to be made like the Lord Jesus. Intellectually, it's gain, for I'm going to know as I'm known. Emotionally, it's gain because I'll be able to praise him with my whole heart. Socially, it's gain because I will be with the saints of all the ages and with my Lord himself face to face. Spiritually, it is gain because temptation and sin will be behind me and I will be one with the Lord. Now, what brings me to this kind of relationship? What brings me there is death. So death is not an enemy to the Christian. Death is not an enemy if we can come to the place, like Paul said, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Why can this be gain? Well, first of all, because of the presence of the shepherd. See what David thought. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Watch that. Because, for thou art with me. There's the presence of the shepherd. When it becomes your time to die, Jesus will be there with you. I wanted to see something kind of interesting in this psalm. Up until this time, he's been talking about the Lord. He says, the Lord is my shepherd. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. His rod and staff. But now, when he's in the valley, church, he's no longer talking about him. He's talking to him. What does he say now? He says, thou art with me. There's nothing in life that will bring you closer to God when we face the valleys. when we face the troubles of life, when we walk through the dark valleys of life, we're going to know what the psalmist meant when he said, "For thou art with me." We're going to know the fact that Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us, but he will be with us always, even into the very end of the age. There's the presence of the shepherd, the ultimate. Think about it. I won't have to cross Jordan alone. I won't have to die alone. That when it's my turn to die, the Lord will be there with me. He will be my light, my presence. There's not only the presence of the shepherd, but there's also the power of the shepherd. His rod and his staff, they comfort me. Remember what I told you the rod was for? It was for protection. It was to protect the sheep. Remember what I told you what the staff was for? It was to lift the sheep. And so the Lord will protect us, and he will lift us even out of the valley. He will strengthen you. And that's why Psalm 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of the saints. He will be there. His rod will be there to protect you from the powers of evil. His staff will be there to draw you close to him as you walk through the valley, and as your feet touch those chilly waters of the river of death, you can go singing on your way. And then finally, the purpose of the shepherd. What is the purpose of the shepherd? It's to take us through the valley. It's not a boxed-in canyon. It's a valley. And Jesus has kicked the end out of the grave. And I want you to know that he's bringing us through. And you may be in some trouble today. And you may be in some difficulty today. But I want you to know, friend, there's a purpose in it. And it's only for a season. It's only for a time. David knew enough about a shepherd to know that a shepherd would never leave his sheep through any place unless he was leading them to a better place. Somebody asked a man, he said, "What's your favorite verse?" He said, "The one that says, 'It came to pass.'" He said, "So why is that your favorite verse?" He said, "Because then I know it didn't come to stay, but it came to pass." Whatever it is, friend, that you're facing in life today, it's going to pass. You're going to go through. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. Fanny Crosby. The purpose of the shepherd is to lead us through. Remember at the beginning I said that the devil keeps people in bondage through the fear of death. And you're not ready to live until you're not afraid to die. You say, "But Pastor, I am afraid to die. What about my sins?" I tell you what you do with your sins. You put them in the place where God forgives you of those sins. You put them in Jesus. He died to take care of those sins. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Lord hath laid on him, that's Jesus, the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity, the sin of us all. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? I want to help you to know that death has no more terrors for you. Settle the death question so that you can begin to live. If you're not certain that you're saved, may I invite you to pray a prayer, even right where you're at. Just forget the person next to you. Forget anybody else is here. Would you say something like, "Dear God, I know that you love me. And I know that you want to save me. Jesus, you are the good shepherd. You gave your life for this lost sheep. You died for me, Lord. And you are the great shepherd. You've been raised from the dead. And you live for your sheep today, ever living to make intercession for them. But you're also the chief shepherd, and you're coming again. And I want you to be my shepherd. I want you to come for me. So, Lord Jesus, I open up my heart to you. And I receive you right now, at this moment, as my Savior and Lord. For as many as receive you, to those you give the right to become the children of God. Jesus, I repent of my sin. Forgive me and help me to forsake it. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Thank you for doing it for me, Lord. In Jesus, your name, I pray. Amen. Heads are still bowed, eyes are still closed. You're walking through a valley today. There are many valleys in the Bible. The valley of death is just one of them. But you're walking through a valley today. Maybe it's the valley of Achan, the valley of trouble. Some low spot in your life. Something that has you down, discouraged. Maybe you see no way out of this valley. Maybe it's the death of something. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to look up. Not at me, but in your mind's eye, I want you to look up. And I want you to see the mountains. On one side, I want you to see Mount Calvary. I want you to see Jesus dying for you. I want you to see all the victories that came as a result of his death. He saved you from your sin. Everything else pales in comparison to that. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man might give his life for his friends. But even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Think of the love of God. Think of the love that God has for you as evidenced by Mount Calvary. And then I want you to turn the other way, and I want you to look up and see the mountain of his coronation. And I want you to see Jesus coming back for you. And you know what? Whatever you're facing right now, it's true. It will come to pass. And the struggles that we have, I know they're real. I'm not trying to downplay them at all. But I do want you to know that someday when you see Jesus, everything that you are going through now will be worth it all. It'll be worth it all when you see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till you see Christ. And now, picture yourself again in the valley. But I hope there's some hope there. And let me tell you this, if Jesus loved you enough to die for you, if Jesus loves you enough that someday he's going to come back for you, don't you think he loves you enough to get you through the valley? He's not going to leave you in that valley alone. He's even there with you right this moment. right now at this time. So heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. How many here by a raised hand would say, Pastor, would you pray for me? I am going through a valley and I would appreciate your prayer today. Is there anybody? Amen, amen, amen. God bless you. God bless you. Let me pray for you right now. Father, you see the hands that have went up today. Lord, I pray that they would be able to look back later in life and say, you know what? It was in that valley that you restored my soul. It was in the valley, and it was that particular Sunday morning, December 28th of 2014, when you lifted my spirit out of that valley. You lifted me out of the miry clay and set my feet upon a rock. Lord, I pray today that you would use your staff to reach down and grab your people and lift them up. I pray, Lord Jesus, as the great shepherd, that you would use that club of yours to chase away any evil. Lord, that you would protect and you would provide for your sheep today. Lord, may they feel your presence like they've never felt it before. There would be no fear. Yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, there would be no fear. Why? Because Jehovah is with them. Jehovah is with us. For this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Could we sing Give Me Jesus again? I want you to just pay attention to that last verse, I believe it is, when I die. Even when we die, we don't like to sing about it, but even when we die, the only thing that's going to matter is if we have Jesus. So give me Jesus. Let's do it. There we go. This last verse is to show that we're putting our faith and our trust in him this morning. When I God bless you. You are dismissed.